In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The Fathers of the Church are all of one mind, and they very succinctly write in their expositions about this gospel that it is incumbent upon each one of us who intends to follow Jesus Christ to not put anything in front of him. In other words, you are not to hate your mother or your father or your wife or your husband or your brother or anything like that. But you are to have a sense of where your true loyalty and love belong. And it does not belong to the humans with whom you share a common father, but to the Father who gave you rise, which is the Lord himself. So let's take a look at the psalm. This psalm is about the crucifixion of the Lord. It says, "You have lifted me up on a rock." What rock? Golgotha. You have lifted me up on a rock. You guided me because you are my hope, a tower of strength. And the Lord, in this case, in his crucifixion, is speaking to his Father, God the Father Almighty, the Pantocrator. "Because you, O God, have heard my prayers, and you have given an inheritance to them that fear your name." Remember the first gospel that we pray in the morning from St. John? That you will be called the sons of God, even you that believe on his name. Believing on his name. Believing means to have actionable faith. So it's not, I believe in Jesus. Yay, Jesus. No. It means that when push comes to shove and things are difficult, I will do the things that I have been expected to do all along as one who is loyal and who loves the one who gave me everything that I have. This inheritance to them who believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Again, going back to the gospel of the first hour. You see, to believe is something that you write down. You write it in your mind first. You hear something. I told Alex today how to make the sign of the cross. We hold our thumb and first two fingers like this to confess the Trinity, and the second two fingers go down to confess the perfect humanity and the perfect divinity of our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ. Then we make the cross starting with our head and then down towards our viscera, which conflates to our emotions, and then from the strength of our shoulders. So with my mind, my body, all my strength, I'm an active believer in God. But first it comes to the mind. Who is Jesus? Is he God? Is he the Son of God? Is he an avatar? Is he just a prophet? What is he? There are many people that give him labels. Who do you say he is? This he asked of St. Peter. And this he asks of all of us. So, we move forward when there is a problem, not in the name of our own pleasure. You know, just as an aside, to talk about politics just for a second. There are people who have signed a promissory note to the government of the United States saying, "I cannot pay for this schooling that is available to me because I don't have the money. So when you give me the schooling, I promise I'm going to pay. I promise that I'm going to pay." But now you would be surprised how many people want to get out from under that contract. People that you might admire. People who are doctors or who are lawyers. But you would be surprised if I told you their names. I hate these people. I hate these people because they hurt not only themselves, but any future confession they can make unless they repent completely and publicly and make amends for the thing that they have done. Because they would embrace the good that would fall to them at the compromise of their integrity. This is what the Lord is saying to all of you. Now, if we can move ahead in the ministry of the Lord, it's not said specifically, but it's at least in my imagination, that when the Lord spoke about his body and how you must eat my body and drink my blood or you have no life in you, this comes to us from the 6th chapter of the book of John. I'm going to give you a mnemonic advice. Remember 666. It means the sign of the beast. Well, the 6th chapter of John and the 66th verse says, after he said these things, many turned away from him. The disciples that had been with him for 2 years, who had had all of the benefits, seeing the miracles, following the teaching, hearing the promises, when he said, you must eat my body and drink my blood, most walked away. This is what I'm talking about, a lack of integrity. No integrity at all. I can't count on you. When the war comes, are you going to turn and run? You were made for the war. You were made to be someone who would stand up for the Holy Cross and for the body that was nailed to it for the forgiveness of your sins and mine. But I hate these people. I wish I'd never known them. I wish that all of their sin was kept far from me. But it's not to be that way. It's not to be that way. And this does not come by way of confession. This comes by way of who they vote for. Voting politically. I want people to give me things. It's all right when you suck from the breast of your mother when you're young. But you should not suck from the breast of the government when you are old. You must stand up. You must work. You must be accountable. You must grow things, not pull things away. Oh, because I'm poor. Well, why are you poor? Because you were disobedient and a crummy child and you didn't listen to the advice of your grandmother and your mother. Because there's not one person, not one person who can ever say that they weren't told by their mother and their grandmother, study, don't do drugs, don't smoke, don't drink, don't get tattooed up, don't be promiscuous. And then the things they did say, take care of your health, eat properly, brush your teeth, wash, comb your hair, keep your clothes neat. All of the things that grandmothers and mothers told the children, the reason that the people are poor today is because they didn't listen. They were disobedient. You don't listen to your own flesh. You are just pretending when you say you're going to listen to God Almighty. You are a liar from the very beginning. You are a liar. And it shouldn't be that way. So Jesus gives a couple of examples. Don't normal people think that the beginning is not the end? That it is the start of a process? And if you are going to start something, you are going to be mocked if you spend most of your time doing something and then at the end you can't finish. So if a person is going to build something, and as we are at St. Cyril, we're going to take the roof off our church. And we're going to put the steel to make this place as earthquake resilient as possible. But we got to put the roof back on. What would people say about us, about you and me, if we couldn't restore the roof to our church? What kind of people would we be? Oh, they made the church earthquake compliant. Well, it doesn't really matter because people can't go to that church anyway because they don't have a roof. Of course, it's ridiculous. And then he talks about people who are going to have a conflict that they think is going to be settled by might, and they find out that one is twice as mighty as they are. Well, now there's a problem. What are you going to do about that? Well, you can go ahead and get into the fist fight and be trampled upon. But that's not particularly wise when there's another course of action available to you. And that is, make peace. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the end, he says, salt is good because salt is a preservative. Salt is also something that brings out. I had an uncle that taught me this. You ever know anybody that puts salt on fruit? A lot of Mexicans will put really spices, a lot of really good spices. I like it. On mango and different things, fresh fruit, and then they dip it in this stuff and they sell it to you in these little carts and whatnot. At least in the area where I live, which is probably about 70% Mexican. Salt has a number of uses, but he's speaking about the desire that he has for each one of you to be a preservative of his word and of his actions and interactions, to be somebody that can give to anyone who asks a reason for why they have faith and why they are willing to sacrifice themselves to the government. Why? Why would you do such a thing? Because I know, because I have seen, because I have touched, because I believe. But if you lose that, you say, you know, this is kind of a rough thing he's asking me to do. Other religions don't ask that of their adherents. I can be a good Buddhist and hide behind a tree when the emperor is coming around. I'm wise. I've preserved my life to live for another day. The Lord asks us to be witnesses, and I remind you that the word witness means martyr. Witness unto death. How the Lord loves these people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. Precious. That's why I use the terrible word hate. I shouldn't hate. But I hate the devil. And I hate the people that compromise their faith because they don't know the jeopardy in which they begin to tread. And they think they're okay because, hey, this is just one of those good things that have fallen to me because of the nature of governance in this moment. But no. If you promise something, my mother didn't leave me with too many words of wisdom, but the words that she gave me, she lived. She lived these incredibly faithfully. When she was old, she was she only worked one day a week in her last days. She's 75 years old. She had worked from the time that she was 16. And she was taking cash in a restaurant. And a man came up to rob the restaurant. And he had a hunting knife. And he said, give me the money. The cash drawer at this time was open, or I'm going to stab you. And my mother looked at him right in the eye and closed the cash drawer. And then the man took the hunting knife and stabbed my mother, knocking her to the ground. And you know where the point of the knife landed? On a button. A small button. So she had a big bruise on her sternum. But the skin wasn't even broken. Men who saw this happening, when the guy ran out, chased him, got him, And he was taken into custody by the police, and later he was prosecuted for his crimes, attempted murder and robbery. But think about it. This old woman, 75 years old, and that money is not hers. It was just under her supervision. Now, I don't do this thing to laud my mother. I'm telling you about this is what I admire. You don't judge a man in the beginning of his life, in the middle of his life. You judge a man at the end of his life. What he stands for, what he's willing to die for, what in the face of everything else he will not yield to opposing powers. This is what we find in the disciples, all of whom died horrific deaths, except for St. John the Beloved. But I tell you this because as we go forward into our year, the Lord wants you to walk forward as a warrior. It's time for you not to see yourself as a child. It's time for you to see yourself as somebody who is going to carry the cross with pride and who is going to deny, for the sake of that cross, everything else that might be a temptation to put it down. This is what the Lord is saying to us, and I hope I'm able to live as well as he expects. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and unto the age of all ages. Amen.